There's now strong evidence of a cover-up in NATO's handling of an incident in Afghanistan where US special forces killed a number of civilians, including two pregnant women. The killings happened on February the 12th in a village outside Gardez in eastern Afghanistan. The facts, however, only started being unearthed because of investigative reporting by the British journalist Jerome Starkey, published in the London Times. NATO's own statements about the incident first suggested that the women had been killed well before the special forces got there. Unconvinced by details of NATO's account, Jerome Starkey travelled to the village where the killings had happened and conducted his own investigation, as he told me on the line from Kabul this afternoon.
I mean, we started off speaking to the Vice Chancellor of the university, then we spoke to an ambulance driver. Both of these interviews conducted before we even got to the house. When we got to the house, we interviewed the head of the family, we interviewed the brothers of the two men killed, the husband of one of the women who was killed, and one by one we went through almost everybody who was at the party, interviewing them in as many cases as possible, interviewing them separate and isolated so that we could just hear their version of events. Sometimes that wasn't possible. We were sort of found ourselves surrounded by a crowd. But nonetheless, the version of events that the eyewitnesses told us all seemed to stack up. Obviously, people had slightly different memories. People saw slightly different things. But the key version of events all corroborated. And after that, we spoke to a number of police officials, government officials, and the head of the religious council in Paktia province, all of whom had been involved in one way or another in the sort of immediate aftermath of this raid. Because the house was just a few kilometres outside the city, a number of government officials got to the scene very, very quickly. And then in the uproar after the American troops had left, the bodies were paraded through the city. So a lot of people found themselves involved in one way or another. And we were very lucky that we managed to speak to lots and lots of those people.
So what happened when you presented your evidence to NATO, to the authorities?
I first presented what I found to NATO, my preliminary findings, about 5 days before we published our original story. And I asked them for a briefing, I asked them for a meeting with somebody who could speak authoritative on this raid, and they simply ignored those emails. It was only about 10 p.m. on the evening that we had gone to print. I'd already filed my story, I'd already put the allegations that the family claimed there'd been a cover-up to NATO, and they simply ignored it. 10 p.m. that night, they phoned up to maintain their original position that they believed the women were already dead when their force arrived at the compound. The following day, when our story was published in the Times, NATO responded by issuing a categorical denial, and they also accused me of misquoting their director of communications. This was clearly an attempt to distract from the essence of the story, which was the fact that they'd killed two pregnant women, a teenage girl, a policeman, and a district prosecutor, and they'd claimed they were Taliban, and they claimed they discovered the women. At the time, NATO claimed they had a recording of my conversation, an electronic recording of my conversation with this director of communications, so I asked to hear it, because I was convinced that I had quoted the man accurately. When I asked to hear it, they ignored me. When I pressed them, they admitted that the recording didn't exist, and that when they said they'd recorded our conversation, what the press officer meant was that his friend in the room had taken notes. Since then, they have maintained, until very recently, that the women were dead several hours when their force arrived. It was only a few days ago, after we managed to get hold of the findings of an Afghan investigation, an Afghan police investigation into this operation, that they eventually retracted their claims.
And what does the Afghan police investigation say?
Well, the Afghan police investigation is quite clear. They believe that all five people were killed by the assault force. They believe that there were two gunmen involved, both of them Americans, who fired at least 11 bullets. Those bullets killed Commander Dawood first, the policeman, his brother, Saranwal Zahir, the district prosecutor, and at the same time that Saranwal Zahir was shot, three women, two of them pregnant women, and one of them an 18-year-old girl who was engaged to be married, also killed in that same volley of fire. Now, their allegations are even more damning. The Afghan official, a senior Afghan official, very closely involved in the investigation, who gave me a 90-minute brief on his findings, showed me video and stills footage that he had collected and his team had collected from the scene. He believes that the U.S. special forces involved in this raid deliberately lied to their superiors, and he believed that there was a serious there was enough evidence for him to claim evidence tampering. He believed that bullets fired during that raid had been dug out of the victims' bodies and dug out of the wall in the hallway where four of them were shot.
But because of Islamic tradition, which is to bury corpses on within 24 hours after they die, the evidence is now gone.
That's right. All the bodies were buried the same day, as is customary across the Islamic world. What's very unusual and what has yet to be explained is why the US Special Forces and their Afghan colleagues sealed off this compound for 7 hours. We understand that the raid started at about 4 a.m. in the morning, just as a party to celebrate the naming of a newborn child was beginning to draw to a close. The U.S. Special Forces kept that compound sealed until 11 a.m. the following morning. Now, the timings were slightly hard to pin down when I spoke to the family when I went down there last month, but those are the timings repeated to me by the Afghan police investigation. Now, that length of time, 7 hours, it seems very unusual and hasn't really been properly accounted for by NATO. Now, during that time, some of the video footage of the scene that we've seen, video footage recorded on phone cameras, shows a man in conventional American uniform, so presumably not part of the original assault force, but part of the regular troops who turned up from a local base. This footage shows a man in American uniform taking photographs of the corpses. Now, that doesn't amount to a forensic investigation, but nonetheless, the Americans do have this evidence, which has yet to be released. The family members claim that when they saw their relatives' bodies before they were buried, they could see that the entry wounds where the bullets had gone in appeared to be larger than normal, and they appeared to have been made by knives, as if the women had been cut, and indeed as if the men had been cut. And this is what they claim proves that the Special Forces tried to take out the bullets after the operation. Certainly, if it appears that they've tried to remove bullets from either the bodies or the wall, anywhere from the scene, in our own countries, that would amount to a very serious crime. And in Afghanistan, it's also clearly an attempt to cover up what really happened.
Jerome Starkey of the London Times speaking on the phone from Kabul. And you can hear a longer version of that interview with much more detail, more about the background and more about the implications on our website from this evening.